Hello and welcome to Fine Print, the double scrutiny of a story and its coverage with me, Amir. First, as always, we start with a quick check of the big print. Big print goes. And straight to our first pick from New York Times. Accusation of organ theft stokes ire in Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel urged the Swedish government on Sunday to condemn an article in a Swedish newspaper last week accusing the Israeli army of harvesting organs from Palestinians wounded or killed by soldiers. And now let's take a look at Aftonbladet's site and the article itself. Of course, English translation of the article. You can call me a matchmaker, said Levi Isaac Rosenbaum from Brooklyn, USA, in a secret recording with an FBI agent whom he believed to be a client. 10 days later, at the end of July this year, Rosenbaum was arrested and a vast Sopranos-like video of money laundering and illegal organ trade was revealed.
This summer, people may remember the hot weather and the heat the FBI put on mayors, state assemblymen, other politicians, and rabbis. An investigation of political corruption and money laundering resulted in charges against 44 people in July. Ralph Marra Jr. is an acting U.S. attorney for the U.S. Department of Justice.
Defendants, corruption was a way of life. They existed in an ethics-free zone.
The people charged include mayors of Hoboken, Secaucus, and Ridgefield, two state assemblymen, numerous other public officials and political figures, and five rabbis from New York and New Jersey. Wason Dunn is an FBI agent working on this case.
People we arrested sounds like it should be the roster for a meeting of community leaders. But sadly, they weren't meeting in a boardroom. They were in the FBI booking room.
Some of the people charged include Elihu Ben Haim, the principal rabbi of a New Jersey synagogue, and he's charged with money laundering of proceeds derived from criminal activity. Authorities say Haim's source of cash for funding the money laundering was an Israeli in Israel. Saul Kassin is the chief rabbi of a New York synagogue and is charged with money laundering of proceeds derived from criminal activity. Edmund Nahum is the principal rabbi of a New Jersey synagogue and is charged with money laundering of proceeds derived from criminal activity. Mordecai Fish is a rabbi at a New York synagogue and is charged with money laundering of proceeds derived from criminal activity. Authorities say Fish gave the cooperating witness new chips for his cell phone to thwart any law enforcement attempt to wiretap their phone calls.
Rosenbaum's matchmaking had nothing to do with romance. It was all about buying and selling kidneys from Israel on the black market. Rosenbaum says that he buys the kidneys for $10,000 from poor people. He then proceeds to sell the organs to desperate patients in the States for $160,000. The accusations have shaken the American transplantation business. If they are true, it means that organ trafficking is documented for the first time in the U.S.
New York man Levi Isaac Rosenbaum is charged with conspiring to broker the sale of a human kidney for a transplant. Officials say Rosenbaum said he had been brokering the sale of kidneys for 10 years.
This was to entice vulnerable people to give up a kidney for $10,000, which he in turn would turn around and sell for $160,000.
Most of the arrests were made by FBI special agents. In fact, we're here in front of one of their locations at this Federal Plaza. Also, court-authorized search warrants were issued for about 20 locations in New York and New Jersey.
It's clear that there is a connection between the sale of organs and the recent arrests in the U.S. with regard to the large network of organ harvesting and organ dealing that existed between parties in the U.S. and parties in Israel. So it's not beyond the fathom of imagination that this article hashes out some very significant allegations that need to be addressed.
Israel has repeatedly been under fire for its unethical ways of dealing with organs and transplants. France was among the countries that ceased organ collaboration with Israel in the 90s. Jerusalem Post wrote that the rest of the European countries are expected to follow France's example shortly. The Palestinians also harbor strong suspicions against Israel for seizing young men and having them serve as the country's organ reserve, a very serious accusation with enough question marks to motivate the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to start an investigation about possible war crimes. In December of 1992, Ehud Olmert, then Minister of Health, tried to address the issue of organ shortage by launching a big campaign aimed at having the Israeli public register for post-mortal organ donation. 500,000 pamphlets were spread in local newspapers. Ehud Olmert himself was the first person to sign up. A couple of weeks later, the Jerusalem Post reported the campaign was a success. While the campaign was running, young Palestinian men started to disappear from villages in the West Bank and Gaza. After 5 days, Israeli soldiers would bring them back dead, with their bodies ripped open. Talk of the bodies terrified the population of the occupied territories. There were rumors of dramatic increase of young men disappearing, with ensuing nightly funerals of autopsied bodies. I was in the area at the time, working on a book. On several occasions, I was approached by UN staff concerned about the developments. The persons contacting me said that organ theft definitely occurred, but that they were prevented from doing anything about it.
I was working in Jerusalem at that time, and I was approached with people from United Nations. And they told me about what happened on the West Bank and in Gaza, and they said, since we are UN people, we cannot take action in this, so we want you as a journalist to investigate and find out what's really going on. I asked them what was going on, and they told me that young Palestinian men disappeared, most of the time got shot, and were brought back to the villages like 5 days after, always in the night, always with cut electricity, always with the imposed curfew, closed military area. So there were so many question marks, and worst of all was they were telling me all the men went through autopsy against the will of the families. So finally I went to this village you mentioned in Matin, the north West Bank in the Kalkilia area, and I came in the afternoon, talked to people, talked to villages. They told me the story of how this Bilal Ahmed Ghanem was shot, and they knew sometimes in the night the Israeli military will bring him back to the village for a funeral. And that was how it all started. So I was attending that night, talking to the people. I saw what I saw, heard what I heard, and we took some pictures. And afterwards, I went to like 20 other families who had the same experience. They told me the same thing. They showed me the same pictures. And all of them, especially the mothers, said, "We want to know. We really want to know what happens to our son. We are suffering. We have to know." So the article is referring to these Palestinian families. And the next following day after that night, I went to IDF office in Jerusalem. I told him, Mr. Fogel, his name was Mr. Fogel, I told him about my experience. I told him what the villages told me and other Palestinian families, and asked him the same question: what is going on? Can you let the mothers know what's happened to the sons? And he denied everything. No, he didn't deny everything. What is important to remember is actually this man was shot dead, and that's true, and without taking to court or anything. And what is true, they brought him back 5 days after, cut up against the will of the family. And what was true, it was also that the family said, we are sure they have stolen the organs from the boys.
The Palestinian people have had these suspicions in the past, and this is something that does nothing but solidify the lack of faith that they have in the Israeli system, and the suspicions that they constantly have towards the Israeli occupying forces. But as Palestinians also We know that the Israeli occupying forces have no respect for the lives of Palestinians. So we can't be surprised that they would not have respect for the bodies of dead Palestinian martyrs. What this article does is rehash some of the suspicions that we have had throughout the period of time that we have been documenting violations by Israeli occupying forces. An important thing to note is, and what is lost, I think, in the recent development with regard to this article in the Swedish press, is that this issue is not new and was actually initially addressed by the Israeli national news itself and Israeli media. And there was an article actually in 2002 titled Abu Kbir Operating Organ Warehouse. And I just want to read to you actually the specific portion in the article which adds to the suspicion. State Attorney General Eliakim Rubinstein ordered police to launch an investigation against Professor Yehuda Hiss, the nation's senior pathologist and director of the Abu Kbir Forensic Institute. Hiss is accused of a long list of charges from inappropriate behavior as a medical professional to criminal acts such as illegal sale and dealings in organs and body parts. Now, this is an issue that was raised in 2002 by the Israeli media, and an investigation was ordered into this incident. Now, the question we ask is, what happened with regard to this investigation?
Well, this is the picture that has shaken the world. If a picture speaks a thousand words, this one spoke millions.
Actually, eyewitness, the first eyewitness that night, Bilal Ahmed Ghanem was buried. The soldiers took him out from the car. Some of his relatives was digging the grave, and when the grave was ready, they put him in the grave. So the picture is actually taken when Bilal is just down in the grave. And it's with me let's say colleague, a local colleague helping me. We had a small compact camera which we could hide in the pocket, and we succeeded to shoot five shots down in the grave. Before the soldiers came and were upset about it, but they took the camera, but we had the film actually.
The families in the West Bank and in Gaza felt that they knew exactly what had happened. Our sons are used as involuntary organ donors, relatives of Khalid from Nablus told me, as did the mother of Ra'at from Jenin and the uncles of Mahmoud and Nafis from Gaza, who had all disappeared for a number of days only to return at night dead and autopsied. Why are they keeping the bodies for up to 5 days before they let us bury them? What happened to the bodies during that time? Why are they performing autopsy against our will when the cause of death is obvious? Why are the bodies returned at night? Why is it done with a military escort? Why is the area closed off during the funeral? Why is the electricity interrupted? Nafis' uncle was upset and he had a lot of questions. The relatives of the dead Palestinians no longer harbored any doubts as to the reasons for the killings, but the spokesperson for the Israeli army claimed that the allegations of organ theft were lies.
And they actually didn't point out any, they especially didn't point out the army or anyone. They just said the Israelis were stealing the organs. So that is a very serious allegation, and Mr. Fogel at the IDF office, he denied everything, said, no one has stolen any organ. It's just fabricated story from the Palestinians. There's so many rumors. They want to miscreditate us all the time. And to make autopsy to these men is just a routine. That is something we do all the time when a Palestinian man is killed. But the problem was, that year I was investigated, it was 133 Palestinian men killed, but only 52 of them went through autopsy. So I told him the same story again, but he said it's routine anyway. And so the article is describing this, what I just told you. I'm referring to the Palestinian families, and I'm referring to IDF spokesman. The article itself didn't take any stand, didn't have any opinion at all in this case, whether it was true or not. But there is one thing the article is saying, It should be further investigated, like in Srebrenica or everywhere. And I think the Israelis should be, especially the Israelis should be very interested to get this investigated, to get either get rid of the rumors. And I think also the Palestinians will be the most happy to know that nothing have happened to the sons, or find the responsible people who have done it and punish them.
As the fury in Israel over the article gathered into a diplomatic storm revolving around questions of anti-Semitism and freedom of speech, Mr. Netanyahu told ministers at a cabinet meeting on Sunday that the article published in the Swedish daily newspaper Aftonbladet was outrageous and compared it to a blood libel referring to medieval anti-Semitic accusations that Jews ritually killed Gentile children and collected their blood. "We're not asking the government of Sweden for an apology," Mr. Netanyahu said, according to an official who attended the cabinet meeting and spoke on condition of anonymity. "We're asking for their condemnation. We're not asking from them anything we do not ask of ourselves." Mr. Netanyahu made his comments behind closed doors, but other Israeli ministers have publicly attacked the Swedish government's refusal to take an official stand against the article. Avigdor Lieberman, Israel's outspoken foreign minister, has led the protest, saying that a Swedish government silence was reminiscent of Sweden's position during World War II, when it also did not become involved. Yuval Steinitz, the Israeli finance minister, said, "Whoever does not distance himself from a blood libel such as this may not be so welcome now in Israel. We have a crisis until the government of Sweden understands otherwise."
Because first of all, it's not have nothing to do with anti-Semitism or anything like what you mentioned. Just because the simple reason, it's true. The historic myth around this theme is myth, and nothing is true. But this story, again, it's true. It actually happened. This man was shot. They were brought away. They was cut up. And the family think it's the organ is missing. So it's true. That's the big difference. And so either the cabinet is just fabricating again by reflex any information they don't like they used to do, or they misunderstood the article. And that can be likely like that, because the first day when the Israeli journalist called me, all the TV channels or the newspapers, none of them had read the article, but they had heard some lines, and also there is a false translation circulation in Israel. So if they have based the reaction on false translation or lines which never have been said or written, that might make me understand why they are reacting like that. That's the whole point with the article. There is evidence for the man was killed. There's evidence they went through autopsy against the will of the families. There is proof that the evidence for that the Palestinian family think the organ is missing. So far it's clear, but it's not clear whether it's true or not, whether the Israeli took the organs or not. So that's what the whole point with the article. Continue with further investigation in order to find out what is true, to find the evidence. So I agree with them, but that's what the article is saying.
If this this report had no factual basis to it, then it would have remained buried in the tabloids. But the Israeli authorities have taken it up and tried to quash it and quash any discussion of it. So I think it should actually lead to more questions of the Israeli authorities rather than taking their verbal assaults and allowing them to succeed. Al Jazeera quotes Ghanem's brother, Cynthia Proving, of Bostrom's story. The report published last week in Aftonbladet, Sweden's leading tabloid, accused Israeli forces of stealing the organs from Palestinian men after killing them, a charge Israel has denied. But Jalal Ghanem, a resident of the West Bank village of Imatin, told Al Jazeera this week that his brother Bilal was one of the victims of the alleged theft following his death by Israeli fire back in 1992. Ghanem said Israeli soldiers ambushed Bilal, a member of the Fatah movement and an activist during the Second Intifada, at the gate of his family's home. They, that is Israeli soldiers, called him Bilal Bilal. He automatically turned and they shot him, Ghanem said. A military ambulance then transferred Bilal to a helicopter at the gate of the village, his family said. Ghanem said Israeli forces returned the body to his family a week later. but it was cut and showed signs of being opened. It was very clear that there was no abdomen. It showed from the way it was stitched. There were no teeth in his mouth, he said.
First of all, I'm a little bit upset because remember we are talking about human beings, human rights, and humans. So instead of being concerned, I should the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister, Mr. Lieberman, etc., should be concerned what happens to the men. Remember, to shoot people on the street without taking them to court, it's illegal. And to kill people is illegal like that. So I think people should be more concerned about what's going on with the people than about the article. So that makes me concerned, actually. I made a lot of interviews. I was in the village a couple of times. I went back after that night I attended. I went back again. And and had a long interview with his elder brother again, Talal, for hours. And I mean, you can question anything, but it's interesting you mention it, because just 2 days ago, the family confirmed the whole story once again in details, how everything was happening, how the military took Bilal by helicopter from the village. This also is one of the many question marks. And they were telling all details. And again, even the mother confirmed, yeah, we think they took the organs. Just 2 days ago, they confirmed everything. So, I mean, instead of taking this case seriously, they made a political rhetoric game about it. And I think that's a shame, actually, because we are talking about humans. Always when you deal about and write about insensitive issues in Israel or in this conflict, you receive a lot of kind of reactions, unpleasant reactions. But in this case, it was far more extremely load of hatred mails. And the second day, I received some death threats, very specific, very concrete and clear. Yeah. First of all, I want to change the headline. I think, actually, with another headline, it could be another reaction. Today, the headline is, Palestinian accuse Israel to steal the organs from the men, from the sons. If the headline will be like, the mothers have the rights to know, I think we have a totally another direction of the discussion, more human, about humanity. So I think that's what I want to change, to write more about the humanity, maybe add some more cases, to really make people understand it's true, it's not false, it have happened, and it's about human and human rights and humanity.
The Swedish daily Sydsvenskan talks about the political strategy behind Sweden bashing. It goes, there are two possible reasons for Israeli political leaders to attack Sweden and demand its government react to the Aftonbladet article. One is to gain domestic support. The other is to put pressure on Sweden as chairman of the European Union in advance of coming peace talks in the Palestinian conflict. The third alternative that does not seem plausible is that Israel really thinks that Carl Bildt and Friedrich Reinfeldt will give in to pressure, criticize the Aftonbladet article on organ theft, and thus go against the Constitution. Following the bloody war in Gaza, Israel has continued to expand its settlements on the West Bank and to demolish Palestinian houses in East Jerusalem. This has drawn hard criticism from both the United States and Europe. The Israeli leaders can hardly still believe they will get an apology from the Swedish government, but perhaps they think an EU chairmanship on the defensive would be to their advantage in the coming peace talks.
I think there's several reasons. You mentioned some of them. I think they need to increase the strength in the internal process in Israel. They have problem with Obama criticizing the defense. They are heavily criticized after the bombing of Gaza. So they have problem with the internal problem, and they use my article as a tool in the political fight within Israel. And I can see also another reason. Usually Israel authorities put pressure on the newspaper, and normally the newspaper back off or say give them an excuse, whatever. In this case, my newspaper said, no, it's still a relevant question. The mothers have to know. So a frustrated Israel continued the next level to the government and asked them to do the same thing, but even to condemn the newspaper. But our government said, we cannot do it. It's a democratic country and it's our constitutional right in this country to print this. It's up to the editor-in-chief to decide what to print or not to print. So an even more frustrated Israel what could they do? Could, just to continue the verbal violence another step. So I think there's several reasons, internal political reasons, external, you can mention EU, etc., and talks with Obama, and also this, what is routine? I mean, the propaganda machine is always criticizing journalists or newspaper writing the wrong thing.
So much for Fine Print. Thank you for watching. Always watch out for the Fine Print right here on Press TV with me, Amir Arafat.